Today is certainly a great day in so many ways. As is often said, today is the first day of the rest of your life, but more important than that, today is the first day of this great week that we believe is ahead of us. It's so good to have so many of you visitors in our midst tonight, and particularly to have all you young folks. When I look at the ladies and gentlemen that are sitting on the front pews over here in the annex, I'm convinced that our young folks are in good hands this week. I know many of these younger preachers of the gospel and young Christian ladies who are going to be working with them, and we appreciate so very much what they're doing. This is going to be a great week, especially for the young folks. Because emphasis is being placed on our youth this week, and because so many of them are present with us tonight, I've chosen to bring a lesson especially for our youth. And yet I must admit that it's needed by those of us of each generation perhaps just as much as is needed by them. Jeremiah, the second chapter and verse 13, the Bible says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." I thought it rather interesting after I had decided to use this lesson, referring back to some preparation that was done even years ago, that there was an article in the latest Firm Foundation entitled "Broken Cisterns." The emphasis that was in that article is not necessarily the emphasis that I'm placing tonight, but the lesson is basically the same. Back several years ago, when Dal and I were in our teenage years, we spent a lot of time together in high school and then 2 years here at Freed Hardeman. We visited in each other's homes. Our dads were brothers, our brothers, both living yet. Lived about 5 miles apart, and we enjoyed visiting with one another. I remember very well one of the things that was a little different at Dal's house from mine. They had a cistern. And that's not sister, that's cistern, C-I-S-T-E-R-N, out by their back porch. I also remember that my grandfather, my mother's father and grandmother, had a cistern that they had prepared there at the house where they lived, and had even built a room around that where they could get the water out of it without having to go outside. Many of you that are in the older or middle generation tonight will remember a cistern where you lived or somewhere where you visited. Some of you young folks may not know exactly what we're talking about. A cistern was a place that was prepared, usually dug down into the ground and sealed in some way, so that water could be caught, usually caught from gutters from the house itself, so that the water could be caught there and stored in that cistern for the benefit of the use of the family. This was especially important when it was not easy to dig a well in some of the areas where these were used. I can remember when we did not have electricity. Now, I'm not really that old, but I can remember a long ways back in the early years. And I can remember when people would take their milk and put it down in those cisterns. The water was cooler down a few feet in the ground, and keep the milk cool in order to have it for the meals. Now, this is the idea that is being used here, from which a lesson is made to the people at that time, and one from which we want to draw some thoughts this evening. God said you folks are doing two things that are wrong. Number one, you're not using the living water that can come from me. And number two, you're preparing cisterns for yourselves, and these cisterns that you are preparing are as broken cisterns, which will hold no water. One version translates that water holes that would leak. Broken cisterns that would hold no water. The image itself may not be as important to us tonight because we, in this part of the world at least, do not use this mechanism or this way of storing water, at least as much now as we formerly did. But the lesson is there that we want to learn tonight and gain some points that can be extremely helpful to us. Young people, want to suggest to you tonight that there are some ways that you can have a broken cistern that will hold no water. In the first place, immorality will crack the cistern of purity. At least two of the songs that we've used tonight talked about purity. Pure in heart, O God, help me to be. We even sang a prayer song in one of those, asking God to help us to be pure in our lives. Paul said to a younger preacher, Timothy, who may have been closer to my age at the time than to these teenagers, but nevertheless still a young man, a young preacher. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. He said, even as a younger man, as a younger person, you need to be concerned about setting the right example. And notice that one of the things that he mentioned there is the example of purity. I don't know that there are many things that are needed as qualities in our lives today that are more important than purity. Purity is important as far as the individual is concerned. It certainly is needed in order to have a happy home. It casts its part in the role of influence in the relationship with others. And it certainly is involved in our living the Christian life. Purity is needed so much. But let me tell you something. If you allow your body to be involved in actions that are impure, you're going to crack the cistern. If you let filthy language come from your tongue, dirty jokes, and words that not only take the Lord's name in vain, but words that are filthy and ugly and not decent, another crack can be put in the cistern of purity. If you young folks, or any of us for that matter, allow drugs, particularly alcohol, and those things that affect the mind and affect the body, in many instances to where health is almost impossible and to where the circumstances continue even through a lifetime, and the suffering of the consequences of that can continue through a lifetime and even into the eternity, such actions can certainly break the cistern of purity to where it will not hold water. It is not as easy to live a life in which there is purity after being involved in things of immorality and things that are indecent that bring about that breaking and that cracking of the cistern of purity. Number two, dishonesty can put a crack in the cistern of trust. Again, trust is needed so much in our relationships with one another. And usually this is especially important in the relationships that develop with young people and in their relationship even with the older generations. Being able to be trustworthy and to trust one another and to believe that a person is a man of his word is so important today. And let me say to you boys and girls, or young men and young ladies, that this is so important in the development of your life. But dishonesty can put a crack in that cistern of trust. That little story of the boy who cried wolf may be a trite story, but it has such a wonderful lesson in it. So many times he cried out, wolf, wolf, when there was no wolf there. And then when there was really one there, people did not listen to him because he had cracked the cistern of trust. Oh, I like that verse in Philippians 4:8, where he says that there are some things about which we are to think. And he says we're to think about those things that are true and honest and just and lovely and pure and of good report. Look at the first three of those things. Those things that are true and honest and just. Dishonesty will crack the cistern of trust. If you tell a lie, the next time a person won't know how to trust you. If you cheat in your relationships with your teachers and with others in your classes and with your friends and even with your parents, and you're not honest in your dealings with others, you'll find that you've placed a crack in that cistern of trust. And remember, the broken cistern will hold no water. One of the reasons that we do not have the trust back and forth between the generations and even within the generations is because we put too many cracks there that have brought about these broken cisterns that will hold no water. Provide things honest. Provide things honorable. Two different translations. In the sight of all men, Romans 12, verse 17. It is so important to have trust and to be able to trust each other. And it is so important for you in your teenage years to be able to trust each other and to have your parents and your teachers and people in the church and in the community trust you and say, there's a young person who'll tell the truth. There's a young person who's just as honest as the day is long. Dishonesty will crack the cistern of trust, and the broken cistern will hold no water. In the third place, I'd like to also suggest that guilt feelings can break the cistern of happiness. And this is connected with the two previous things that we've discussed. We are going to make mistakes. There's not a one of us who is perfect. You young folks will make some mistakes. We hope that we're able, through efforts such as this one this week, and our regular work with you in the Lord's work and in our homes, help you to avoid as many of those serious mistakes as possible. But it's just a fact that we're all human, and that we're going to make some mistakes. Now, the reaction to those mistakes can be the good or bad. There are some who will react without any care, not really caring what happens in life, and not even feel shame, be hardened against it. You know some like that. Certainly, their system of happiness is broken. They may think that they are happy, but they have no security and no real assurance of happiness. But for those who can feel ashamed, whether it be immodesty or dishonesty or immorality or whatever it is, who can develop that feeling of shame and guilt for having done wrong, it's so important to be able to deal with that. And if we don't deal with it, we can crack the cistern of happiness. I like what the psalmist said, and if anybody ever knew about guilt and trying to overcome it and having the right relationship to it, it was David. Psalms 38, he says in verse 4, "For mine iniquities are gone over mine head. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me." Back in verse 3, he says, "Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin." Guilt left without doing something about it can crack the cistern of happiness. If you feel guilty about your life, how are you going to be able to walk down the street tomorrow and hold your head up and your shoulders back and meet everybody with a smile and without any fear of what might be said about you or about your life? Guilt feelings can bring about a crack in the cistern of happiness. And that's why it's so important that we get all these other things in proper focus and turn to God for forgiveness when we do make mistakes, so that we can build that cistern of happiness that will hold the living water that comes from God. I believe God intended for Christian people to be happy. That is not to say that every day will be completely as we wish it, that there will be no tears and heartaches and problems. Certainly those times are going to come. Even our Lord wept at the time of death. And when he could not get people to respond, to come to him, even our Lord had persecutions, and some of the greatest people that have ever lived had them. But God's people ought to be the happiest people in the world. And guilt feelings can crack that cistern of happiness to where we cannot hold the water of contentment and satisfaction and pleasure and happiness in the sight of God. And then I suggest to you that a failure to be a Christian can crack the cistern of success. Let me tell you something, young lady, young man. If you're not a Christian, you're not successful. I don't care what you have in life. And lest I forget it, let me tell some of you that are a bit older that too. If you're not a Christian, a true Christian in the sight of God, there is no way that your life can be successful. I don't care how much money you have, how much you make, how much land you own. I don't care how much fame you have attained, how much popularity you have, how many friends you have. If you're not a Christian, you cannot say that your life is successful. And so a failure to be a Christian cracks the cistern of success. It was Jesus that said that a man's soul is worth more than everything in this world. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16, 25 and 26. One thing that we want you to keep before you this entire week, young folks, and all of us, is the need of being a Christian. Not just having our name on a church roll or our picture in a church directory, but I mean being a true blue Christian, one who is true in every sense of the word, according to the pattern that is given to us in the Word of God. Immorality will crack the cistern of purity. dishonesty will break the cistern of trust. Guilt feelings left unattended can tear the cistern of happiness all to pieces. And a failure to be a Christian can do away with the cistern of success. Broken cisterns that hold no water. Here's two things, though, that we need to understand. God will help us to keep our cisterns where they will hold water. And God will help us to mend those cracks when they come, if we will turn to Him and let the blood of Jesus Christ be the cement that seals it all off, to where our cisterns of life can hold the living waters that come from God, and our lives can be filled with both happiness and success. But let me tell you something. The only place to find that living water is in God and in Christ. Perhaps tonight we need to think about being sure that we have things sealed up with the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me reemphasize that idea. If you're not a Christian, there's no way you can be successful. And if you're not a Christian, you need to be baptized into Christ tonight. And if you are one and your cistern has developed cracks, either of impurity or dishonesty or guilt feelings or whatever, you need to turn to Jesus Christ tonight and receive that forgiveness that can make everything sealed and right in your life and in your relationship to God. If that's your need, won't you come as together we stand and sing.
The cross where He died is in sight. Now at the cross there is room. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? The bride and the spirit invite. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? The voice of the Father implores from mercy's most wonderful height. His love in that call He outpours. Are you coming to Jesus tonight?
Are you coming to
Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? The bride and the spirit invite. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Oh, who to Himself will be true? Of all whom these voices invite, who answers, my brother, do you? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? The bride and the spirit invite. Are you coming to Jesus tonight?
Be seated, please. Closing song will be number 663.
Again, let us say that we're so grateful that you're here this evening. If you have filled out a card, please leave it on the seat where you are. If you haven't filled out one and have time to do that, we'd like to have a record of your being with us tonight. We're so thankful that you're here. There are brochures concerning the Christian Training Series here on the stand and also in the front foyer. If you haven't looked at one to see what's involved, we hope that you'll do that and involve yourself in the Christian Training Series this week as much as you can. We have two others who expressed a desire to place membership with the congregation, Judy and Stephen Hagwood. This is the daughter and grandson of our own Margaret Presnell, and we are glad to have Judy and Stephen move into our area and be with us. Would you stand where you are? Judy's over here, and Stephen is toward the back in the center. We're glad to have you as a part of our work. The Lord's Supper has been prepared for those who have not had the opportunity to observe it today. During the singing of the closing song, you may go through either of the doors here at the front and across the breezeway to the educational building. Before our closing song and closing prayer, Brother Billy Smith needs to make just a few remarks.
In his prayer a few moments ago, Brother Butterfield mentioned all of the outstanding lessons that will be presented during the course of this week. I think we have had a great beginning in that series of lessons here tonight. And Ben, I'd like to say a special thanks to you for the emphasis of this evening lesson and the good beginning that it gives us to what will be truly a great week. Also, I'd like to express thanks to you for always greeting us and making preparations for us to be with you in this special service, as well as the service on Wednesday evening. And may I remind you of our plans again to have a growing workshop Horizons Chorus. And we hope all of you will be planning to remain following the service for that annual presentation. We want to tape that presentation and make it available to these young people. And we would like for all of you to remain and be a special part of that. They'll work very hard over 3 days getting ready for that, and I'm sure it'll be a great blessing to you. As we dismiss tonight, our young people will be dividing up into a number of evening activities. The one thing that I would like to impress upon them at this point is that at 9:45, we congregate again in the Commons area. That is our period of, or area of gathering in front of our gymnasium. And at that point, we'll have our evening devotional at 9:45, followed by a period of fellowship and refreshment. So all of our young people, remember that. We also welcome any of those who are here for the Christian Training Series. If you'd like to be a part of that evening devotional, that will be at 9:45. I happen to spot in the audience tonight Brother Coleman Crocker. And that reminds me that 9 years ago, Coleman is the one basically responsible for the beginning of this program. And so, Coleman, we give you a word of special tribute tonight and a special thanks for the great foundation that was laid 9 years ago for the program. We have approximately more than 300 young people here and others that are on the way. And we give our thanks to you for helping us, and we also ask for your prayers all through the course of the week. We look forward to a great week.
Let's all stand as we sing the closing song, number 663.
Mm-hmm. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gates that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offenders who truly believe will surely from Jesus a pardon receive. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Father, we know that you are God. And great things have been done because you are a great God. And Father, we're indebted to many for the events that are about to take place here in Henderson this week. We want you to know that we're grateful for the lives of all of the young people who are here. We're grateful for our teachers and for the many Christians who have come throughout this great land to learn how to better serve you and to be pleasing in your sight. Father, we love you so very much and want to do what is good, but we are weak and we stumble. And we ask you to help us to have the courage to get back up and to try again. Thank you for Brother Ben and the powerful message that he delivered to us. We pray that we will always try to uphold that which is honest and good and pure, moral in your sight. Be with us now as we leave and help us to have a great week as we try to serve you better. It's in your Son's name we pray, and amen.